Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, Church at Southside. It's so good to be with you all today. My name is Freddie, and I love you. You matter. You have power. You have a calling that God is waiting to have you walk out each and every day. I want to make sure that you hear that every single time I'm ever able to be up here. And even if I'm not up here, if you just see me, I'm going to still tell you, I love you. God loves you. You have power, and you have a calling. Because I think understanding that you have power is an important thing that we need to do. If we don't think that we have any power, then we're not able to do anything that we want to do. We're not able to figure out what it is that we were called to do. We just kind of let life happen to us. But that is a lie. You have power. A few weeks ago, I was here when we talked in Ephesians chapter 2 about you having the power to do impossible things. Because you are in the family of Jesus Christ, and because you are God's son and daughter, you have the power to do otherwise impossible things. Things like forgiving someone who has hurt you more than you ever thought that you could be hurt. You couldn't forgive them on your own, but through Christ, you can forgive them. We also talked a little bit about the more supernatural side of what Jesus tells us that we're capable of, because Jesus actually says we can do what he does and more. And I take him at his word, which means that you do actually have the power. You do actually have the power to heal the sick through Jesus Christ. You do actually have the power. And so another thing that we have the power to do that I don't think that we do nearly enough as sons and daughters of God and brothers and sisters of Christ is to go boldly before the throne for what it is that we need. You are children of the Most High, and yet we are living so far below the standard of the royalty of God that we are a part of. So I want to help you to walk out a different path. I want each of us, and that includes me, to walk out a path of power so that we can all boldly go before the throne. And so I want to give us a few examples of people in the Bible who boldly went before the throne when they needed something to happen. One of those individuals is a guy named Jairus. Now, we've talked about him a little while back. Jairus was a Pharisee synagogue leader. And what that means is, because he was a Pharisee, he did not like Jesus. He hated him. The Pharisees believed that Jesus was actually a heretic spouting bad gospel. Gospel that was against God, and so they hated him. But you see, Jairus had a problem that his story, that his status as a synagogue leader, that his role as a Pharisee, that his story about himself could not fix because his daughter was dying in his home. And so Jairus had to make a choice. What is more important? When he found out that Jesus was passing by, Jairus had to choose whether or not it was more important for him to keep his status as a leader in the synagogue, an upstanding Pharisee, or to drop all of that, push his pride aside, and fall down at the feet of Jesus Christ. And he chose the right choice. We're going to read in the book of Mark, chapter 5. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. I want to stop there for a quick second, because a lot of our power has to also come in knowing that God has the power to change our circumstances and that he is willing to do it at any given moment if we will but ask. If we will but ask, and if we will ask believing that he will do it. So Jairus says, "Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed." Not, "Please come and put your hands on her to try and heal her, Jesus." No, he didn't question whether or not she would be healed when Jesus touched her. He knew she would. So a funny thing happens. Jesus accepts, obviously, because he always wants to heal when he can, and he starts walking with Jairus. But there's a little interruption. There's an interruption of someone with even bigger faith than Jairus, which causes a slight delay. And we're going to talk about that interruption in a bit. But what's important to know now is that that slight delay, during that slight delay that Jairus had and that Jesus had, Jairus' daughter actually dies. And someone comes from Jairus' house and says, "Hey, Jairus, I hate to break this to you, but your daughter is dead." And then they follow it up in verse 35. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Referring to Jesus. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." So here again, Jairus has another choice. He knows in the physical and in the real world, death means death. It's over. But he also knows that there's this supernatural being in front of him named Jesus who says, "Believe me," and that there's a chance for his daughter. So again, Jairus chooses faith. So Jesus goes to the home, and when he gets in there, it actually says Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And he goes in and he says to them, "Why all the commotion and the wailing? She's not dead, but she's asleep." But they laughed at him. And you know what Jesus did? In response to their laughter, he didn't start preaching to them about faith. He didn't correct them. He didn't shake his finger or wag at them. No, he kicked their tail out. Why is that important? Because in the next few verses, Jesus goes into that girl's room. He says two words, "Talitha ka'um," which means, "Little girl, rise up," and she is back to life. It's important that he kicked them out because we need to first remove our doubt before going to the Father boldly with our desires. And I understand we are human and we can't always ignore what it is that we see and what it is that we do. But trying to speak to your doubts, trying to control your fears and speaking to your doubts and saying, "You know what, doubt, I understand what I see, but I still believe that God can change this situation." That's what we need to do. When we need a blessing boldly, we need to boldly ask for it. And it's not just Freddie talking to you. That's actually still Jesus. Matthew 7, "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And he that knocketh, it shall be opened." I feel like the King James should have added like a TH at the end to open, so we could have kept the "knocketh shall be openeth," but it didn't, and I'm not going to add it. Your identity is a person in God's royal family. We should be asking for what we need. We should not let anything come between what it is God wants to give us at any given moment. So let me tell you about another example of someone even bolder than Jairus. Because the delay of Jesus going to Jairus' house was caused because there was a woman who had been hemorrhaging and bleeding for 12 years, no matter what she did. In this condition, she had paid money out the wazoo, gone to every possible doctor that there was to go to, and she got worse. And you would think that having given up everything you got, being sick as a dog, being weak, and having to deal with something for more than a decade, that you would lose hope. And that is the normal human response. But remember what I've said before. We are not human. We are supernatural beings through the Christ who lives within us. And verse 27 says, "When the woman heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, 'If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed.' Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering." She knew that healing was on the other side of that finger touch to the cloak. She knew that Jesus had the power to heal her all around him, and that she didn't even need him to say a prayer. And we know that she didn't need him to say a prayer because Jesus didn't even know that he healed her. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, the disciples, because sometimes they can be silly, they're like, you see all the people crowding against you, Lord. How can you ask who touched you? There's lots of people here. But Jesus knew that power had gone out from him. Someone touched him in faith. He kept looking around. In verse 34, when he finds the woman, after she admits that it was her touching, because she tried to keep it a secret, but she realizes that she's going to be found out eventually. And she feels like she did something wrong because she essentially stole a blessing from Jesus. But Jesus finds her, meets eyes with her, and says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Your faith. Jesus didn't say, "I just healed you. You're welcome," even though he could have. No, he told her specifically, "Your faith healed you." Your faith can change your circumstances. Your faith can change the things going on around you in this world if we but believe. And I understand that belief is difficult, but it is necessary. And there are things that we can do to strengthen it. But there's an important part, there's an important factor going on here with this woman who had been bleeding. An important factor of believing that there is healing, believing that you deserve to be healed, and seeing the healing just on the other side of this prayer. You know, there's another small story in Matthew chapter 9 under the Message translation that I think will actually help to illustrate this point about why it's important to watch our thought life and believe that things can change. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. As Jesus left the house, he was followed by two blind men crying out, "Mercy, Son of David, mercy on us." When Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him. Now, that's bold. They followed Jesus all the way to his house and then bust up in his house because they needed that blessing today and they couldn't wait. Some people would say that's rude. But if you know you need your blessing, you got to do what you got to do. When Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him. Jesus said to them, "Do you really believe I can do this?" And they said, "Why, yes, Master." He touched their eyes and said, "Become what you believe." It happened. They saw. Become what you believe. See, the thing is, we become what we believe every single day, whether or not we know it. Because sometimes we believe things about ourselves that we have no business believing. You are children of the Most High God and brothers and sisters of Christ. Yet, if we believe that we will always have difficulty, if we believe that no one will ever love us, if we believe that our circumstances can't change, that our money will always be funny, that it will be difficult every single moment of our life, if we believe that, that will be our reality. Because remember, before Jesus brought Jairus' daughter back to life, he kicked out the doubters. It is important to believe who you really are. It is important to understand your true identity as a member of the holy royal family of Jesus Christ. So that when you become what you believe, which you're going to do anyway, you become a thing that is powerful, that has purpose, and that knows that it is loved by the creator of the universe. But you know, there's another example that I thought was really, really quite interesting. It's actually a weird story. But I think it speaks to what happens when sometimes we believe for a breakthrough, we believe for a miracle, and we get part of the way there. Or we're really, really pressed down by a really, really tough situation, and then the situation relieves itself, sorta. but not all the way. And we accept that sorta as our reality. Jesus would like us to do something different. Mark chapter 8. They, speaking of Jesus and his disciples, came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. See, once again, he's taking him out from anybody that may be a distraction or any doubts. And maybe that's a hint for us. Sometimes we need to get away from the distractions. We need to get away from the places of doubt. Maybe there are people in our circle that are causing us to doubt that, at least for this blessing, we need to have some time alone with our Father to get the message. So Jesus takes the man by the hand, leads him outside the village. It gets kind of gross, so I'm just letting you know. He spits on the man's eyes. He's Jesus. He can do that. Please don't do that yourself. Don't try this at home. Jesus spits on his eyes and puts his hand on him. And Jesus says, "Do you see anything?" See, that right there, before I even go further, that part is so weird. It's like, Jesus, you're Jesus. How do you not know? But it gets kind of weirder. The guy says in response, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." So he's got vision. He was blind, and he's got vision, but it's kind of blurry. And some of us believe that that's good enough. Our situation went from bad to meh, went from bad to okay, and that's good enough. But Jesus once more puts his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open, his sight was restored, and he saw everything. Now, we all know that Jesus and God are one. So Jesus, through God, as God, created the whole universe. He could have healed him at first touch. So what's going on? I don't know. But my spirit tells me that this is just a little bit of a tip for you to know that Jesus will never stop healing you. He will never stop being a resource for you. He will never not be available for what it is you need him for. And while we may not be blind, there may be things that we've asked God to help us with that we have to continually ask him to help us with. There may be addictions that God may have helped you through in one moment, but then you need it in another moment when you are truly stressed. God doesn't come back. He didn't say to the blind man, "Well, you can see better. You can see good enough. You can, you know, avoid oncoming camels. You can probably have a pretty prosperous life." No, God said, "Let's go all the way and let's give you the fullness of your healing. Let's give you the fullness of the blessing that you've been waiting for." Good enough for members of God's royal family ain't good enough. Believe in God for the fullness of the blessing. I know that these things can be difficult to hear, especially when you're in the middle of an extremely difficult situation. Now, I've told you all about some of my extremely difficult situations. When I was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 24 and I had no health insurance, I too was in an extremely difficult situation. They told me it was stage 4, and I was full of fear. And I'm going to be honest, for the first 3 days, I wasn't even thinking about praying. I wasn't thinking about, maybe I should ask God. I was actually planning my funeral. I was writing letters to people that I loved to let them know that I would love them. I gave up. I was ready and willing to accept my death. But a funny thing happened about 3 days after that phone call in October of 2007. I got this crazy idea that if I would just hope just a little, if I would just let a little hope in, if I would start, instead of planning a funeral, planning my graduation from law school, instead of saying goodbye to the most beautiful woman I had ever dated, who eventually became my wife, I started planning out how I was going to propose to her when I survived. I made plans for my future because in order to have a future, I had to live. So I began to believe. I get a phone call from a hospital that's willing to give me $500-something thousand dollars worth of treatment for free, and I am here completely healed 12 years running. And there's nothing special or different about Freddie. I'm weird, so it's something special or different in that way. But each of you have the same resource at your hand at any given moment. And what I learned from that experience, what I learned from looking at these situations, is that sometimes we have to see the blessing happening in our life even before it is here. Because isn't that the definition of faith? If we are wanting for this job, but we are believing that we will never get it, we become like the doubters that were in the room with Jairus' dying daughter. We need to see ourselves in that job. We need to see, imagine, just take the risk of faith to imagine your circumstances better. And I know it's a risk. At the very minimum, Jairus risked everything, but he risked running into something that we may hate worse sometimes than bodily harm, which is embarrassment. Some of us are scared to get our hopes up and to tell people, hey, man, I'm really hoping for this thing, because if it doesn't work out, we're worried about being embarrassed. But I can tell you, I promise you right now, your embarrassment will not feel as bad as God's blessing will feel good. So see yourself, imagine yourself in the circumstance that you are asking God to give. And remember that God told you to ask, and it shall be given, and your life will change. Kick the doubt out. Be like the woman who was bleeding, and believe so hard, and see the reality of the life change so real that you literally reach up with your faith and rip that blessing right down onto earth. As above, so below. And be like the blind man who Jesus touched him first and he got a little bit, but he needed the second touch. He needed more healing. Be willing to go back to God. Don't be embarrassed, because it's the same thing he healed you for before, and you shouldn't have to get healing for this. I mean, I should have been able to kick this problem. I should have already gotten past this addiction. I should have been able to handle my money better. I should have been able to. No. You are a child of God. When my kids and I go into a store like GameStop, they will ask for a game even if I have bought them a game the week before. They do not care how many things I have bought them before. They will just ask for the game. Sometimes I have to tell them no, but God has much more resources than I do. And so you, as a child of God, need to go boldly before him, just like my children may go for me. Go boldly for everything that God has for you, because you are God's child. Let's say a prayer. Lord, thank you so much for these amazing men and women, these amazing sons and daughters of you, these amazing brothers and sisters of Christ. Let each one go boldly before you, seeking what it is that they need change in their life. Help each one to see the change before they become the change. Give them the power, Lord, to go before you, and then rain down the blessings, Lord, that you have been wanting to give them their entire lives. But more importantly than all of that, Lord, show them who they are. Because in understanding our identity, we find our power. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. Thank y'all.